You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Happy Sunday to you. Today we are wrapping up our Breathing Room series that we've been in for the past 4 weeks. I hope you've enjoyed this series. We've been learning a lot together. And yeah, all right, we got some people who are excited to be in church. That's what I'm talking about. So we're wrapping up this series, and this is what this whole Breathing Room thing has been about. If you're new to our church or if you haven't been here for the past few weeks, we've been talking about carving out some margin, some space, some room to breathe in the midst of our crazy, hectic, busy, stressed out, maxed out lives. Come on, how many of you ever feel like you just need to take a deep breath and just get some breathing room? Let's do that together. Come on, just breathe in. All right, we're catching our breath today. Because life is better with breathing room, isn't it? Life is better with breathing room. When we have breathing room, stress begins to go away, anxiety fades, our relationships get better because we're able to be fully present and just be there for each other. And so life is better with breathing room. I think we all know this. I think instinctively we want this. We want to be healthy in our bodies, our minds, our souls, and yet we end up living without it. How does that happen? Well, we live in a culture that values getting the most out of life, don't we? We all want to get the most out of life. There are so many things we can say yes to, so many good opportunities, so many ways to spend our money, so many ways to give our time away, always another meeting, always another thing we can do. In the midst of trying to get the most out of life, we end up losing control of our lives. That's what happens. Nobody signs up for this. We don't mean to live this way. It's just that we're pursuing, trying to get the most out of life, and we end up losing control of things, and it's not good. It's not good. And so we've got to have breathing room. This is something that God wants for us. Now, for the purpose of this series, we define breathing room this way. Breathing room is the space between our current pace and our limits. It's the space between our current pace, the pace at which we're doing life, how hard we're running, how much we're spending, how much of our time and energy we're giving away. It's the space between our current pace and our limits, because we all have limits, don't we? We all have limits. And when you live at the edge of your limits constantly, life ceases to be enjoyable. It's not healthy. And so we need breathing room. A few weeks ago, I was in New Jersey. I was touring a mega church facility, some friends of ours with a group of pastors, amazing facility. And they have some great kids facilities. And one of the focuses of this church and their kids ministry is special needs students. And inside of many of their classrooms and kids spaces, they have what's built, what's called a chill space. It's a space for kids, like particularly kids with autism, where they can go when they experience sensory overload. They can go into this room kind of separate from the other kids and chill for a moment before they rejoin the class. And I was thinking to myself, most of us aren't necessarily suffering from sensory overload, but we've all experienced life overload. Ever been there before? Some of y'all there right now, like, I have life overload, Pastor. And we all need a chill space in life, don't we? We all need some space to just chill and to get healthy and to rest and relax. And that's what this concept of breathing room is all about. Now, we've covered a lot of ground for the past few weeks. We've talked about finding breathing room in our time, our schedules, in our finances. We've talked about embracing rest, being intentional about rest. Today, I want to talk to you about relationships, carving out breathing room so that our relationships can thrive. Because when you live with breathing room, it affects your relationships for the good. Your relationships thrive. But you know, the opposite is also true. When you live without breathing room, our relationships suffer. Can I just tell you that your relationships are a really good gauge to pay attention to in life? You want to know the quality of your life? You want to pay attention to your health, how well you're living? Pay attention to the quality of your relationships. They're a very important gauge that we want to be intentional about. Now, all of us know this. Relationships involve give and take, don't they? All of us who are in relationships, and we all are, whether it's with your family, if you're married with your spouse, if you have a significant other, if it's your friends, whoever, relationships involve give and take. There's a tension there and that we have to be mindful of. But let me say this to you. When we hand a responsibility to a family member that they weren't meant to handle, it's like we handed them a rock. I have a rock here from my garden at home, and it represents something. This rock represents a burden, a load, something that our friend or our family or our loved one was not meant to carry, that we've handed off to them, and they've taken it from us because they love us. That's what always happens. People are willing to take it for a season because they love us. What does this look like? If you're married, this is what it looks like. You might come to your spouse and say, honey, things are just crazy at work right now. I'm sorry, but for a season, for the next few weeks, I'm going to have to work really late. I'm going to get home late at night. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be able to help out with the kids or the house much. And I'm sorry, but I just need you to kind of carry the load for right now. And you give them the rock. They take it, of course, because sure, honey, I want you to be success. I want you to do well. Or maybe, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to travel for the next few weeks, for the next few months. I'm going to be on a plane like every week, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to be there. Could you hold down the fort? Could you just take care of the kids? It's not forever. It's for a season. I need you to carry this. I need you to hold this. And they take the rock from us. Or if you're a parent, maybe it looks like this. You come to your kids and you say, I'm sorry, but things are just kind of crazy busy right now. I'm going to have to miss a few of your sports games. I'm not going to be able to make it to that recital. I'm not going to be home for family dinner, but you know I love you. It's only for a season. And we hand them the rock, and what do our kids do? They take it and they say, that's okay. I know, mom or dad, I know that you just want what's best for us, and you're working to provide for us. And we hand them this load. And here's the thing. It's not that the problem isn't just that we give them this load. It's that we leave them with it and we forget to come back and take it from them. See, there are seasons of life that demand this from us. There are times in our life, in our career, I'm sure you've experienced this, that this is beyond our control. You got to do what you got to do to get through it. But the problem is when this happens for the long haul, that we've handed off a load to someone, to a loved one, an important relationship. We've handed them a load that they weren't meant to carry for the long haul, and we forget about it. And they've carried it for too long, and as time goes by, there begins to be tension and stress and maybe distance and bitterness in the relationship. Problems begin to occur because we gave them this load. How do we know we've done that? Well, this is what it looks like. It looks like a couple things. We find ourselves constantly making promises. I'm sorry, it won't ever happen again. Or we chronically miss really important events in life. Or we always find ourselves making promises about the future. This is only for a season. It's going to get better next time. That's how you know. You've handed off the load to that person. And they carry it for a season. But eventually the weight of it, the burden of it, it's more than they can bear. It's too much for them physically. Sometimes it results in emotional exhaustion. And what happens? The rock drops. The rock drops. And when the rock drops, it's not good, is it? All of a sudden, this situation that had been going on, something happens. The load's too heavy and everything falls apart. And usually it catches us off guard. We didn't even see it coming. We're like, how did this happen? How did everything fall apart? All I did was call home and ask, like, can one more time, do you mind if I come home later? Or can you cover the kids? And she just exploded. I didn't even see it coming. And especially guys, we're just oblivious. We never see it coming. We didn't, we weren't paying attention because we don't monitor those emotional gauges very well. Pray for us, ladies. But it blows up in our face and we didn't see it coming. Why is that? Because all along we were going through the process. Living at our limits, no margin, because relationships require breathing room. Relationships require breathing room. And sadly, when the rock drops, it can result in some serious damage, sometimes irreversible damage. It leaves scars. Sometimes when the rock drops, it's the signal of the end of a relationship. And it's a tragic thing. And here's the thing. None of us set out to sacrifice our relationships on the altar of success. None of us said, I want to be so successful. I want to make so much money. I want to get so far ahead in life. And I'm willing to lose everybody in life that I care about to get there. We don't make that decision consciously, do we? But it's we're chasing good opportunities. We're chasing opportunities to get ahead in life. See, I understand why this happens. It's because we love progress, don't we? We love progress. We want to get ahead. We want to make more money. We want to get that promotion. We want to achieve something. We're driven. We have a fire. Sometimes there's a passion, a fire inside of you that's driving you. I get that. I'm wired that way. Many of us are wired that way. And it's not that it's completely bad to be driven. It's not that it's bad to want to achieve or to work hard. There's a lot in the scripture that talks about working hard. There's a lot in the scripture that warns against, being lazy. So it's not that being driven is completely wrong. It's that it's when we push so hard that we begin to forget about the most important things in life, our relationships. See, here's the thing. When you stay at work for an extra couple hours, you can actually get a reward for that. You might get ahead for that. But you go home and spend time with your family for a couple extra hours, there's nobody there to celebrate you. There are no rewards handed out at home. There are no bonuses handed out at home. There are no achievements that are celebrated at home like there are at work. And so we can kind of fall into this trap without realizing it. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with progress in and of itself, except when progress begins to compete with what's most important in our lives, the relationships with the people that we love. Let me say this to you today. Your life can be measured by the health of your relationships, not just by your prosperity or your progress. Okay? You need to hear that this morning, because this is not the message of our culture. Our culture tells us your life can be measured by what kind of car you drive, your socioeconomic status, your title at work, whatever. But your life can be measured by the health of your relationships, not just your prosperity or your progress. Some of those things are important, but don't underestimate the value of your relationships in life. Don't underestimate the value of the relationships that you have with the people that you love. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, he gives some instructions for Christian households. In fact, we looked at this chapter a few weeks ago in our This Is Us Ephesians series. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he gives instructions for how we're supposed to treat each other. There are instructions for Christian households, and people know this scripture because famously these verses are read at weddings, and people think about husbands and wives, and he gets into that, and he talks about how parents should relate to kids, and he also goes on to talk about how masters should even relate to slaves and servants, because that was just a part of life in antiquity. But the gist of it is this, okay? Because as Christians, we want to honor God. We want Jesus to be revealed in our relationships. Well, there's a special way we have to do this in life. And here's the principle. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This word submit means I place myself under you. I'm going to put you before me, your needs before mine. Because I want to honor, not because I have to, but because I want to honor Christ. Not out of obligation, but because I want my relationship to reveal Christ. Jesus said, by this they will know, the world will know that you are my disciples. By your what? By your love for each other. And so because I want to embrace that, because I want my life and my relationships, because in the body of Christ, we want our relationships to reveal the glory of God. Because in our marriages and our homes and our significant relationships, we want Christ to be revealed. We are going to submit to each other. It's the principle of mutual submission. Mutual submission means everyone is submitting to each other and we're all submitting to Christ. It's kind of an oxymoron, this idea of mutual submission. Because when we think of submission, we think of rank, right? And who pulls rank and who wins at the end of the day and who has the final say in things. How does mutual submission work? Well, in mutual submission, we recognize that Jesus Christ has the final say. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is our general. We're all ultimately submitted to him. So we can submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put your needs before my needs because I want to honor Christ. And then, of course, Paul goes into how that affects husbands and wives. But let me just make this point to you. Let me make this point to you, okay? We're not called anywhere in Scripture to submit to our drivenness or our ambitions or our desire to make money or to get ahead. Okay, I didn't say those things are necessarily wrong. They might even be downright American. But there's nowhere in Scripture that you are called to submit to your ambitions and your desires to get ahead. But we are clearly called in Scripture to give our lives away to each other. We are clearly called in Scripture to submit our lives to each other. And in fact, this is really important. If you're married, like, yes, you are called. You are called to put your spouse's needs before yours, okay? Whatever season you're at in life, wherever you are called to put the significant others in your life above yourself. That's a clear command in Scripture. And then Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He's writing to the Philippian church. He's giving them instructions on how to love each other, how to treat each other. And he says, I want you to take on the attitude of Christ. Like Jesus came as a servant. If there was anybody who could have put his needs above everybody else's, if there was anybody who deserved special treatment, it was the Son of God. And yet Jesus Christ came and took on the form of a servant. So he says this, Philippians 2, verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves. How many of you find that a little bit challenging? In humility, value others above yourselves. Let me just ask you this. How many of you just find that it just comes natural for you to value others above yourselves? Anybody? Come on, it's just really natural for you. You just find yourself in traffic trying to get through a toll booth, and you're just letting everybody else go ahead of you. Go ahead, you can go ahead of me. You're more valuable than me. You're more valuable than me. It's okay, you're more valuable than me. Anybody? No, I didn't think so. Anybody, you ever go to get on a plane and they make the announcement that the plane is overbooked? And by the way, they're not really offering anything really great, you know, for you to get bumped. And you just find yourself just volunteering. You're sitting next to somebody and you find out they're getting on a plane to go to a business meeting and you have a business meeting. But naturally, you just find yourself saying, well, wow, you're more valuable than me. So I'm going to, why don't you take my, you know, I'm going to miss this flight and just screw up my day. Anybody? Any of you married people, you just wake up and you just find yourself rolling over in bed to say to your spouse, what can I do for you today, honey? How can I serve you? Because you are more valuable than me in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Anybody? No, I didn't think so. We're all laughing because we know this is a Jesus challenge. This is a Jesus, you got to get some Jesus in you to live this way and to begin to see people this way. But that's the thing. We're called to this. This is the kind of life we're called to. Like Jesus, we're called to take on the form of a servant and to value others and to put others' needs above ourselves, above our ambitions, above our goals, above our desire to get ahead. Because a lot of times, you know, we think that we're driven to help and bless other people, but the reality is we're driven to please ourselves. And so Paul says, no, we have to snap out of this. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a big deal. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a big deal. Once again, if you're here today and somebody invited you to this church and you're still sorting it out, you've never been in a Bible teaching church like this before, and you're just trying to figure out what does this all mean, it's all good. You can sit back and be a spectator. We're glad you're here. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a big deal for you, because this is about a way of life that we're called to. Because we have to take this serious, because we cannot do things our way. You can't do things your way instead of God's way and expect God's blessing to be on your life, because that's what happens. We want to do things our way, right? And we still want the blessing of God, all right? Yeah, we want to do things our way. Jesus, take the wheel until you steer me somewhere I don't want to go, and then give it back to me, please. I want to do things my way. I just want you to bless what I'm doing. And no, God has given us a set of principles. He's given us his word to guide us, his spirit to guide us. And so if we want his blessing, then we have to get on his program. We have to adapt his values, his guidelines for our lives. And he wants you to live with breathing room. He wants you to live a life of wisdom according to his principles, so his blessing can be on your life. And so today, I want to help you prioritize this. I want to help you to carve out some breathing room so your relationships can be healthy, so your relationships can thrive, so we can honor God in this way that he's called us to live. And so let me just give you some steps to create breathing room for your relationships. I want to invite you to take some notes today. Take out your Redemption app. There's a spot on there where you can take notes and jot some of these ideas down. Three ideas. Here's the first one. Number one, say no to say yes. If you're going to carve out some breathing room to prioritize the health of your relationships, you got to learn to say no to say yes. Well, what the heck does that mean, Pastor Jeremy? That doesn't make any sense. Well, we've got to learn to say no to the lesser things so we can say yes to the greater things, right? Like our relationships. Okay? Here's the problem for us. This would be really easy for us. This whole breathing room thing would be really easy for us if it was black and white. Like, we just know everything we need to say no to so we can just say yes to the better things, right? The problem is there are so many good things in our lives that we can say yes to. And oftentimes, we just don't choose what's best. It would be easy if it was all say no, black and white. Now, there are some things you should say no to, okay? Like, stop smoking crack so you can say yes to what God has for you. Yeah, that's clear, right? That would be really obvious. I probably shouldn't do that. That goes in the no category. But the reality is it isn't as cut and dry as that. It's saying yes to, there are so many good opportunities. So always one more way we can spend our money. We can always think of one more way to spend money we don't have that we shouldn't be spending. There's always something else to give, to say yes to with our time. There's always another meeting we can attend. There's always another email, one more email, one more text, one more meeting, one more conversation. There's always one more thing. And we have to learn to say no to the lesser things so we can say yes to the greater things, like our relationships, like the people that we love. That's who we want to give our yes to. Can I give you an example? When Amy and I first got married, We were fresh out of Bible college and married my college sweetheart, and I was coaching football in Texas. My undergrad, I got an education degree. I taught school for a couple years. I waged the war on ignorance in public schools for a couple years, and I was coaching football in Texas. If you've heard about football in Texas, you know it's a big deal, right? Friday Night Lights. And I lived it. I was in a big 5A school district, and I was a junior high coach. We had six football teams, 7th grade ABC, 8th grade ABC, and I was on the field at 6 o'clock in the morning and then coaching till like 6, 7 at, you know, in the afternoon, the evening. And then we had three games on Monday night, three games on Tuesday night. And then it was like a farm system because we were farming these kids up to the high school program. So I also worked for the high school coach. I had to go out and film games on Friday night. I was never home. I got married and I bought Amy a cat as a wedding present. I'm like, here, you know, I marry you. Great. Here's a cat. I'm not going to be home. See you in a couple months when football season wraps up. That's how it was. It wasn't really good. And the crazy thing is, on Friday nights, the junior high coaches who really wanted to get ahead, they had to kind of kiss up to the high school coach. They would go and they would stay at the field house like all night on a Friday night. Like some of these coaches, they would stay and cut up film and run chores and do things for the high school coaches because they wanted to get ahead and eventually make it on staff at a really good high school program. And I remember one night I was leaving, like I dropped off my film. I was going home. I just got married. And the coach was like, oh, you're not sticking around tonight? I'm like, I just got married. I'm going home to get some tender, loving care. I want to go see my bride, right? But I had to make a choice about my career. And I had some perspective at that point in life. I am not going to have this job forever, but I signed up to be married to Amy for the long haul, and I'm going to choose her over this job. How many of you think I made the right choice? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, I don't plan on doing this forever, but I plan on being married to her for the long term. So you've got to say no to the lesser things so you can say yes to the greater things. See, you only have a few unique roles in life. Lean in for just a moment and hear this. You only have a few unique roles in life. If you're married, you're the only person who can be a spouse, a husband or a wife to your spouse. If you're a parent, you're the only person who can be a parent to those kids. If you're single, you're the only person who can be a son, a daughter, a sister, a brother, a friend, a neighbor. Are you with me? There is a unique calling on your life that only you can do. Only you, and nobody else can do it. Okay, I'm the only person who can be a husband to Amy. I'm the only person who can be a father to my kids. Now, Amy may outlive me and have another husband one day. I don't know. That could happen. All right. Now, I'm just saying, if I die and it looks suspicious, you guys should investigate Amy because I am worth more dead than I am alive. The quickest route for Amy to become a multimillionaire is for something to happen to me. So I'm just saying, if it looks fishy, call a private investigator. Okay. Don't believe it was food poisoning. Don't go for that. But all seriousness aside, I'm the only one that can be a husband to my wife. I'm the only one that can be a father to my three boys. They can have some mentors. They can have family and friends and coaches and people who love them. But I'm the only one who's been given this unique role in their life. You're the only one who's been given the unique role that you have in the lives of the people who are around you. Okay? Let me just tell you this, that anything else you do in life, somebody can and will do your job eventually. As talented as you are, as gifted as you are, as hard as you've worked to achieve your success, to be in the position you're in, at some point in time, you are not going to be in that position. Some point in time, I am not going to be the pastor of this church. I hope I'm here for the long haul, but I'm not going to live forever, and I'm believing that this church is going to keep going. At some point in time, like your position will change. Someone else can and will eventually do your job, but nobody can do the job that you're given uniquely in your relationships. Let me put it to you this way, okay? Don't trade what's unique for you for something someone else can do. Don't trade what's unique for you for something someone else can do. Can I just take a moment, just a little side note here? Many of you who are kind of wrestling with your purpose in life right now, and maybe you've asked the big question that human beings have been asking for thousands of years and for generations, like, what's the purpose of life? Like, what's the meaning of life? What's it all about? And the mistake we make is we ask that question in general, what's the meaning of life? When the reality is the answer to that question is contextual. The answer to that question has to do with your unique place in life. We shouldn't ask, what's the purpose of life? We should say, what's the purpose of my life. And once you ask the question that way, there's a very specific answer, and that is look around you. It has much to do with the people who are in your life. The purpose of your life is to love for and pray for and care for and be there for the people that God has put around you, your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors. Your purpose is unique. Somebody 100 years ago could never do what your purpose is right now. The meaning of life is contextual. What's the context of your life? Who's around you? Who needs you? You have a unique, did I just clarify some purpose for you? There's a unique calling on your life, and it involves the people that God has entrusted to you to care for and to love. So if you're struggling with purpose right now, look no further than the people who are around you. Church family, your marriage, your kids, your neighbors, your parents, some of you young people, it's your family. It's loving on your family that God has entrusted to you. So don't trade what's unique for you for something that someone else can do, because there's a job that only you can do. Number two, here's the second thing. You have to choose to cheat. Choose to cheat. What does that mean? Some of you married people just sat up straight in your chair. You're like, what does that mean? What does that mean, pastor? You got to choose to cheat. Not that way, okay? I had a former megachurch pastor I heard say this once recently. He said there's really no such thing as a work-life balance. You're always cheating one or the other. You're always cheating one or the other. See, there may not be enough time in life to get everything done that you need to get done for work, for all of your various commitments. There may not be enough time to get everything that culture expects of you to get done, to be a successful person. And so we're all going to run out of time, and we all have to choose to cheat. Either you're going to cheat your career, or you're going to cheat your family. Either you're going to cheat the people that you love, or you're going to cheat your ambitions. I hate to tell you, that's just the reality. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Scripture has a lot to say about that, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But we all know we're going to tend toward one or the other. And we need to get some clarity here. We have to choose who we're going to cheat. Some of you are allowing a supervisor, a boss, a coworker to run your life and to steal time away from the people you love, and you're not even going to know that person in just a few years. You're not even going to know that person. You're not going to work for them or work with them, and they are cheating valuable time that you need to be giving right now to the people that you love. So everybody's going to cheat something or someone. You have to choose who you're going to cheat. Let's just be intentional about this. Let's be intentional about this. Now, I'm not saying go in and quit your job Monday. I'm just saying choose who you're going to cheat. Here's the third thing. Number three, we're talking about carving space, right? Carving out some breathing room so our relationships can be healthy. The third thing is be motivated by trust and not fear. Trust and not fear. If you remember week one of this series, when we kicked off this series, we talked about this very idea. And we talked about how, in many ways, we're not even aware. We're not even conscious of the things that are motivating us. Good things, bad things. But one of the greatest motivators, that is the underlying factor that is driving us to do all of these things we're doing, all the money we're spending, all the money we're trying to make, how we're giving our time away to everybody else. And that factor, that motivating factor, is fear. It's fear. It's fear of missing out. It's fear of falling behind. It's fear of not mattering, of a lack of significance, fear of what other people would think about me. It's keeping up with the Joneses. It's all of this stuff. And we're not even conscious of the fact that it's fear that's driving us. It's fear that's driving us. And so the only way to overcome this is to trust God, is to take God at his word, to believe that God is a heavenly Father who loves us, that he wants what's best for us, that he sees your need, that he's going to take care of you. He knows you have bills to pay. He knows you need to get that promotion. He knows that you need to put your kids through college. He knows you have to put food on the table. He's the God who sees you. And here's what he said to us in his word. I want you to leave some room. I want you to leave some space. I don't want you to live at your limits. I want you to trust that if you leave some space to trust in me, that I can do more. I can do more than you can do on your own. If you will leave some space for me, I will come and I will inhabit that space. My presence will be there. My blessing will be there. And you'll live with a sense that I'm working in your life. But it doesn't happen unless you create space for me to show up. Space for me to show up. You have to trust that, yeah, you can't do everything, and you have to leave some things for me to do in your life. But you have to trust him to do that, don't you? You have to trust him to live that way, to carve out that space. Do you know the most repeated command in all of Scripture is fear not? Fear not. fear not. The only way to embrace this life of trust, the only way for us to embrace this whole life, live with breathing room, is to embrace trust, to truly believe that He's our Heavenly Father, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that all of these things that we have need of will be provided. Why? Because He's your Heavenly Father who sees you and He's got you. And so you can seek first His kingdom. You can honor Him with every area of your life. That's what the series is really about. We want to honor Him with every area of our life. We want Him to have our hearts fully. We want Him to have our hearts fully. And so we have to choose to trust Him to create this space where He can show up in our lives. Now, coming back to this idea of relationships, here's the thing. I think deep down on the inside, most of us, we know the only real lasting impact we're going to make in this life is the impact that we have on other people. Come on, we've been to the funerals. We've seen lives that were well-lived, celebrated, and we know that the impact that really outlasts us is the impact that we make on other people. Do you know Mother Teresa put it this way? She said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Come on, sometimes we have big dreams. I want to change the world. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference for God. I want to make a big difference. You want to make a big difference? Start with the people who are right in front of you. Learn to love your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people that God has put around you. Pay attention to your most important relationships. Pay attention to that. Because here's the reality. Here's the truth. We all know that we're not going to have the people that we love forever. See, the great tragedy of this life is that we long for transcendence. Deep down in our bones, we long to transcend this life, but we're finite. We're mortal human beings. The great tragedy of life is because of the curse of sin, there is an expiration date on each one of us, and we lose people that we love. Kids grow up, and they move away. And people move in and out of our lives, and people get old, and people get sick, and they die. We're not going to have the people that we love forever. And we know it's true. We don't like to think about it, but we have to confront this truth. The reality is there's nothing that we can do to slow it down and stop it. It's happening. Look, my kids are growing up faster than I ever thought they would. People told me they'd grow up fast, and I thought I believed it, but it's happening before my very eyes, and I can't stop it. But there's one thing I can do. I want to be fully present in the lives of the people that I love. I want to be fully present so that I never have to look back and have regrets. Yeah, it went by fast, but I was there. I gave my best. I gave my best time. I gave my heart to the people that I love. The greatest difference I made, I didn't cheat them for something else. I didn't cheat them for my ambitions, but I gave them my best. Don't we want to live that way? We want to give our best to the people that we love. I want to be fully present in their lives. And you know what? This all boils down to loving God and loving people. Can I make it simple for you? This Christian vocation, this Christian calling, it's not complicated. It's actually simple. It's not easy, but it's actually simple. Jesus said, you want to know the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This whole Christian thing boils down to loving God with everything you have and loving people. Loving people, people who have eternal souls, people who are made in the very image of God, people that Jesus gave His very life for. That's all that's going to last, people. When it's all said and done, the difference that you make in someone's life is all that's really going to last. And that's our vocation. That's our calling. Come on, this isn't just about me and you prospering. This series hasn't just been about you embracing your best life. No, this is about we want to honor God with our lives. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we have one chance at this. We have one chance to get this right. We want to give everything we have to Him. God, we want to love you with our hearts, our soul, our mind, our strength. We want to honor you with our time, with our money, with our relationships, with our physical, mental energy. God, we want to honor you with our lives. And so we're going to embrace this truth. We're going to get this right because, God, we only have one chance. We want to make an impact in the lives of the people that you've entrusted to us. Come on, stand with me this morning. We're going to pray into this. And we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to seal in our hearts what we've learned together over the past few weeks. Can I just tell you this? I want you just to stay laser focused for a moment. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And listen, you know, the sermon is the beginning of a conversation. The sermon doesn't, we don't work it all out in the sermon. The sermon is the beginning of a conversation that you have to continue between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for some conversations to happen in life groups. I'm praying for some conversations to happen around dinner tables between loved ones. I'm praying for some thoughtful and prayerful reflection. If nothing else, to step back and get some perspective that we look at our lives. and we have an honest conversation with God. And I'm praying for you that you get momentum in one of these areas so you can begin to snowball. Because see, here's the thing. It's all connected. Our time, our money, our rest, our physical, emotional margin, our relationships. It's all connected. So if you begin to get a victory in one area of your life, I'm just praying that it begins to give you some motivation and you begin to get a little bit of a snowball effect and you see it impact the other aspects of your life. But let's pray today. Holy Spirit, seal in our hearts what you've taught us over the last few weeks. We don't want this to just be a message that goes in and out, but we want to hold on to it. We want to get a hold of it. It would change the way we live our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you are a gracious and loving heavenly Father. Nobody loves us like you do, God. And you want what's best for us as your sons, as your daughters, as your people. God, your heart is for us, God. You want to see us live lives of wholeness, lives of peace, lives in harmony with you and your principles, God. And so, Father, today we ask you by your Spirit to seal in our hearts what you've taught us by your word. Father, seal it in our hearts. Bring it back to our remembrance. God, I'm praying that you would give us creative ideas, Holy Spirit-inspired ideas that would help us to move forward. Where we don't know how to move forward, that God, you would show us. Father, you said in your word, if we ask for wisdom, you would give it to us. God, we're asking you for wisdom to put this into practice, God, that we would live lives that honor you, that honor you, that God, we wouldn't have any regrets. We could say that, God, we've given you every area of our lives. We've loved you with everything we have, and we're loving the people that you've entrusted to us well. God, we're loving them well. Father, help us to do it. I pray it for each person in this church. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's worship together to this final song.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.